welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We present two scriptures to serve as our text. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. The other is from Ephesians chapter 4. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now both of these passages have to do with the matter of growing up. We are to grow up physically, but also spiritually. Life is a process of growth from one level to another, and none can deny that the years of the young and often the older, that are the growing up years, can be very difficult years. As one young person put it, "One minute it seems like everybody took for granted that I knew what I was supposed to do when I really did not, and the next minute everybody was telling me what to do as if I knew nothing." Yes, the growing up years have their problems. The more adult years have their problems of growth also. Sometimes people think that the younger years were easier. Well, the young years have their difficulties to the young, just as the older years have their difficulties to the older. Because we are all in the process of growing up, it seems appropriate to understand just what does it mean to grow up. Now, in the physical world, we expect growth. It seems that the passing of the calendar takes care of that, if all is normal and well. Just a few months, a few years, then one matures physically. What many do not seem to understand is that the outward visible physical growth is not the whole story. In fact, it is not even the most important part of growth. The big part of growth is inner growth, spiritual growth, the maturing of the mind and judgment and thinking and self-control. And this has always proven to be more difficult. It is unfortunate that many young people place a ceiling on their lives while they are young. Instead of building foundations, they are erecting ceilings through which they shall never penetrate. They fritter away their time and their opportunities for growth. And I suppose we've all have done this to some extent, and we live to regret it. But youth has time and ability and opportunity to lay the groundwork for a fine and useful life. But the failure to seize these swiftly passing qualities will restrict one's usefulness and happiness in life. Once the young years are spent and the record is made, it cannot be changed. One of man's strongest desires is to be able to start over and to do differently. The very best we can do is to start from where we are. The past cannot be undone. What a tragedy that some build their ceilings through neglect of education, the failure to take care of the body, wasting the development of the mind, and forming attitudes and habits that harm his character and his potential. While the young often resent being told, it is still the truth, that youth is the time for gathering information, building habits and attitudes, properly laying the foundations upon which to build life. It is a time of preparation. In fact, all of life is a time of preparation for the life that is to come. Now, we measure maturity in a variety of ways. Birthdays are chronological measures, but not always a very accurate measure of maturity. Some live decades and never grow up in those things that matter. Physical size is sometimes used to measure, but that is also a very fallible standard by which to measure real maturity. Boys of 15 are often larger than many two or three times their age, but nobody would contend that a 15-year-old has reached maturity. Years ago, my grandmother would have considered a boy to be a man once he began to wear long pants. Why, that's a fallacious idea. Girls thought that once they wore high heels, they were grown. It seems laughable, doesn't it? People may look grown and be far from it. But isn't it pitiable that somehow we have educated, I suppose we could use that word, our society to think that the use of profanity and cigarettes and alcohol and disrespect for authority, the wild driving of cars, strange dress, late hours, that these are marks of maturity? Friends, so much that is mistakenly called adult is more adultery than adulthood. What are the real elements that determine whether one is grown up? Well, one, the way a person spends his time. Now, here's a real clue. Some have a distorted idea of bigness. Those who waste their time in constant play, watching television, they've hardly begun to grow. Having access to a car and seeing all the movies and being an athletic hero are life's goals for the immature. Oh, some say, when I get like that, I have arrived. That's their idea. But as one really grows up, he sees things in a better and different light, the light of experience and reality. He realizes just how foolish and childish such things really are. These are not evidences of being grown. They're simply evidences that there is much growing yet to be done. Now, we're taught to redeem the time. Take advantage of it. Use it wisely and constructively. Life is composed of time, and we ought to make every minute count. Those who realize that show signs of maturity. And while we do not expect the young to fully grasp this, the fact that they do not is evidence of their immaturity. But it is something you should expect from those who claim to be mature. What do you consider to be the real values of life? This helps to determine your level of maturity. Many go through life and never learn what matters. When we want to know the value of things, we often turn to a catalog and we check the prices. God's book is a catalog of what is valuable in life, and we need to be better acquainted with it. If you want to know whether something is worthwhile or not, see what the Lord thinks about it. How does it fit into His standard of things? And what a person thinks of others and how he treats others is a mark of maturity, or maybe a mark of the lack of it. How does he consider the authorities over him, parental and civil and religious and educational and occupational? The immature person resents authority over him. He feels depressed, and that somehow others are taking advantage of him. He refuses to abide by the law. He reneges on his agreements. He's irresponsible in his work. He cannot be depended upon. He even rebels against the authority of God. No person is mature until he realizes that he is accountable to God for all of his life and everything pertaining to it. That individual who has the idea that the word orbits around him and for him and to satisfy him is sorely off the mark. He will have little to no regard for others and consider everybody out of step but himself. He simply has not grown up. His reactions to whatever he gets in his way reflects his maturity. The immature will pout and cry and kick and scoff and lash out. The mature person realizes that such is a part of life. He will take it in stride. He will keep on his path without hesitation or distraction. One of the biggest factors in growing up is the ability to make decisions, and we all have to make so many of them. True enough, many of the decisions we make are relatively insignificant, but some are life-forming and are determining of our eternity. Some never learned to make decisions. They were never allowed to make them when they were growing up. They were never taught standards by which to make an intelligent and an enlightened decision. Therefore, when they reach a point in life that they are called upon to make decisions, they don't know which way to turn. Learning how to make decisions is such an important part of maturing. Someone has said, "In each boy or girl, there are a number of different selves. There is an honest self and a dishonest self. There's a truthful self and an untruthful self. There is a kind and generous self and an unkind self. There is a selfish self and an unselfish self. There is an obedient self and a disobedient self. Well, this is a good phrase, but in this matter of growing up, each one must determine which of these selves we're really going to be. As one decides to be honest and truthful and kind and selfless and obedient, he is making great strides toward real maturity. Think for a moment about Moses. The Bible is a magnificent window through which we can see this man as he grows up. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Hebrews 11:24-26. The American Standard Version translates comes to years with the words grown up. When Moses was grown up, when he was truly mature, he decided against the ways of sin. He decided to be God's person. He might have had everything this world could offer, but he was wise enough, mature enough to make the right decision. He chose God's way. All of the big decisions are not made in the capitals of the world's nations. Bigger events are taking place in the lives of people every day, everywhere. While some may consider the conquest of Caesar to be the more outstanding events of the first century, that which was far more important was the conversion of Saul of Tarsus to the faith of Christ. Even today, as the leaders of the world ponder the gigantic ill's intentions, there may well be a decision made in the mind of some boy or girl that will have a greater effect in years to come on the world and even have a bearing on things eternal. The decision to be a Christian is the most significant decision that a human being can make. Every young person ought to believe in himself or herself. Each must remember that he or she is created in God's image and each counts before God. There are things of eternal value that can be accomplished when one goes God's way. Anyone choosing a goal or purpose in life that fits God's purposes has the assurance that God will be with him. The greatest need of our world is for a truly devout Christian man and woman. Our needs are not for faster aircraft or rockets that take men to the moon. We need lives that will take people to heaven. Our need is not more missiles, but morals. We need not have creeds, but Christ. Physical food, as essential as it is not as needful as the spiritual milk that nourishes the soul. We need Christians to counterbalance the increasing wickedness and degeneracy of the world. We need those who will use what God has given them and prepare themselves and be exhausted in His service of doing good. To have that takes mature people. Every life has what we sometimes call red-letter days, that is, the days that mark the more important events, such as the day of our birth, in our marriage, in our first job, and such things as that. The greatest day in anyone's life is the day that they declare, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God," and then they render obedience and baptism unto Christ. All other days take a second place to that one. On that day you begin to do those things for which you were created, namely to bring glory to God in your life. My dear listening friend, that is a mark of real growth and maturity. And the rest of life continues to be a process of growth until that notable day of death when we pass from this world to the next. And unless we reach sufficient maturity to be ready for that day, our lives and our existence will have been for naught. Our regret will be eternal. Our immaturity will have overtaken us to our destruction. But we can be mature. If we will only follow the Lord's prescription toward maturity, we pray that that will be the goal, not only of the young, but of all. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.